broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web. You're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good morning, it's Stacey Crew, your host of Practical Mindset Radio, and I hope everyone who celebrated had a happy Mother's Day, and it seems very appropriate that this morning we should have this particular guest. So let me give you a little background on our guest this morning. We're just going to jump right in. Bonnie Compton is the author of a book called Mothering with Courage. The subtitle is The Mindful Approach to Becoming a Mom Who Listens More, Worries Less, and Loves Deeply. She is also an end-of-life doula, and we're going to find out exactly what that is this morning and how she works. I know I'm very curious. She's also a conscious living and dying coach, which speaks to the end of doula. She's a speaker, a certified RTM trauma practitioner, and she recently did a TED Talk, so we'll put that information in the show notes. But Bonnie has been practicing child and adolescent therapy for a number of years. She's a parent coach, and she was a pediatric nurse practitioner at one point. I'm just so delighted to have Bonnie here this morning. I've known her for probably more than 6 years at this point, I would say, and to have the opportunity to sit down and have this conversation is really wonderful. So Bonnie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Stacey. I am so honored and excited to be here.
Well, I'm so happy.
And I think we've probably known each other maybe 10 years. I don't know. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while, and I'm thinking it's closer to 10. You know, the pandemic really kind of, I think, distorted reality for many of us, myself, for sure. So,
so true.
So, yeah. Well, I want to start, and I kind of, as I was putting together some questions for this episode, I was thinking what we've got here with your experience and your knowledge and all of that is kind of like the full life spectrum, right? You know, your book is about mothering, and then now you're an end-of-life doula. So I kind of want to Benjamin Button this a little bit and start from the end and talk about what you're doing most recently, because this to me is something that the end-of-life doula, that is something that I can imagine is just a gift to so many. So let's start with you telling us what an end-of-life doula is and, how this works.
Okay. Well, if I could first start by saying, you know, someone recently said to me, you're an end-of-life doula now, you're not doing your parenting work. And I said, no, I'm doing both. And they said, well, how are you doing that? And I said, it's all healing work with the family. Beginning in the beginning, as you said, and through the, you know, raising children all the way to the end of life. So to me, it's a perfect fit.
Yeah.
But an end-of-life doula, so Stacey, your guests probably are familiar with a birth doula. They've become quite popular. And just as birth doulas help families prepare to bring a baby into this world, an end-of-life doula helps individuals and families as their loved one prepares to exit this world at the end of their life. So if you think of it in those terms, it's you know, we companion people as they are dying and their family, which is very similar to what a birth doula does.
Yeah. So it brings up a lot of questions, like at what point are you called in to support a family?
I would love to be called in sooner than later. I'm also a conscious living and dying coach, so I am all about, yes, make you know, your preparations, end-of-life plans, but live life fully while you can. So there are times I wish I was called sooner. But, and again, going back to the analogy of the birth doula, we, you know, we make all these plans for birth, and then we just let death happen. And especially, yeah. I mean, the number of people, I think the statistic is 80% of people do not want to die in the hospital, yet 80% of people die in the hospital.
Wow.
And that's not a bad thing, but it can easily turn into a medical event.
Right.
You know, death used to happen in homes. It's a human event. It's a community event. Funerals mm-hmm. happened in the home. So I think thinking about this, my mission is to really shift people's lens about death and the preparing for the end of life. You know, we're such a death averse of society, but we are all going to die.
Right.
That's guaranteed, right?
Yep.
So why not plan for it and fear it less so that you can then live your life fully? There are too many people that die with regrets, and I just feel that is so sad.
Wow. So what part does, because you mentioned a word there, regret. We hear that a lot, I think, around the topic of death. It's like, you know, people are on their deathbed and they're talking about, oh, I wish I did this or I wish I had done that differently.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, so are these, do you have questions that you, what is your process when you're working with someone and they're approaching death?
So if they are working with me as a conscious living and dying coach, which includes creating their end-of-life plans, we look at five different domains in their life. I was trained by the Conscious Dying Institute in Boulder. It was a 9-month program, and we look at their physical needs. How do they want to be cared for as they're dying? Their emotional needs, their spiritual needs, their mental, you know, their legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Did their life matter? What are they leaving behind? Also the practical needs of how do they want their body cared for after they've died?
Right.
And then through this process, they're able to create a vision for each of those areas of where they would like to be, and then take a look at where they are currently and actually come up with action steps, what they need to do. And the beauty in this is I've seen people heal relationships with loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not at the end of their life with so many regrets about relationships. Depending on their capacity, they're able to do some things on their bucket list. They determine how they want to be cared for at the end. So many things. And so there is a process. It's not a cookie cutter approach, though. And then if I'm meeting someone towards the end and there's not a lot of time to work on that, than just being with them, holding space for them, asking, is there anything you would like to say? Any unfinished business you have? You know, what's on your heart and mind? There's a wonderful book that I believe really started me in some ways on this journey, or kept me going on this journey. I don't know if you've read it, Stacey. Bronnie Ware's The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying.
No, I haven't. The top.
I absolutely love that. I'm sorry, what?
I was just repeating the title. So it's The Top 5 Regrets of Dying?
Of the dying, yes.
Of the dying.
Bronnie Ware, she's in Australia, and she was, I think, worked in the banking industry and was unhappy and ended up becoming caregivers for those that were dying and what she learned from them. It's a beautiful book.
Well, I'll be sure to put that in the show notes because, I would love to read that, and I'm sure the listeners who are interested in this topic would find that helpful as well.
You know, and some of the regrets that we hear are, if I can just add real quick, some of the regrets are, wish I hadn't worked so many hours. You know, we hear that a lot. One of them that really touched me was, I wish I had lived my life for myself, not for someone else.
Do you have some other regrets that you can share with us? That people have written.
I wish I had loved more. I wish I had allowed myself to be loved.
Mm.
There are some people, unfortunately, who die alone. They don't have family or friends around them. They've had a hard life, and by their not been able to receive love from others, haven't been able to give it. You know.
So I'm wondering if this coaching and all of that that you do to prepare people, is this something, because you did mention that you wish people would bring you in sooner. So I'm wondering if people are planning, you know, maybe even writing a will and really thinking about their end of life. I mean, does it make sense to meet with you? Even if someone's in a healthy, you know, state of mind and body, does it make sense for someone to meet with you to kind of talk about what those preparations look like and how you can help them in the very end?
Absolutely, because research is showing us only 30% of people create their end-of-life documents and share them with their loved ones. That is a very low number. And even if someone does not have a serious illness, a terminal illness, car accidents happen. All sorts of things happen, right?
Right.
To younger people. And so, yes, a will is important, but a durable medical power of attorney is important. And naming your healthcare agent, no matter what age you are, unless you're a minor. So there are so many things that can be done ahead. And, of course, that can change over time, your wishes. But I highly recommend younger people do this also. And the beauty of doing it early on and really talking about, yeah, at some point I'm not going to be here anymore. What does that mean for my life now while I am here and able to live my life fully? Death informs us about life, right? It reminds us to wake up.
Yeah. I mean, if you lose someone, it makes you reflect on your own life and how you're living your own life.
Exactly.
Not always. I mean, you know, some people handle that differently, and it pushes them farther away from that, from reflecting.
Right.
But for many, it does push us to think about what's my purpose, what will my legacy be?
Right. Well, as Mary Oliver says, what do you plan to do with your one wild, precious life? We are given this life.
We sure are. We sure are. So what inspired you to move into this space? Because you were, as we mentioned, focused a lot on parenting and all of that. Tell us a little bit about how this came about for you.
Well, a long time ago, when I was 15, my brother was 19 and my dad was 44, and they died of sudden death 9 months apart.
Oh, my.
And my brother was killed in an accident at work, and 9 months later, my dad died of a massive heart attack. And,
wow,
it woke me up to the fact that they were not guaranteed anything in life, right? And, you know, they're here one minute and then they're not. And so I was very aware of how precious life was.
Yeah.
And then I went on to nursing school a few years later, and part of this story is in my TED Talk. I was in my nursing school classroom and remember learning about Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, pioneer of the death and dying movement. And I could not get enough of her work. I just was so curious and wanted to learn more and wanted to talk about it. But, you know, very few were interested in talking about death at the time, especially my age. So I kind of put that aside and became a pediatric nurse practitioner and a child and adolescent therapist. I was always very interested in the emotional piece of people, of children and families. And I was led to it, and then parents just kept coming to me as a pediatric nurse practitioner asking me about their child's behavior and their emotions and all of that. And really, my love, I loved being a nurse practitioner, but I thought, I really want to do the emotional piece. So I went back and got another master's and became a child and adolescent therapist and then a parent coach. So, but 5 years ago, I began volunteering here at the Medical University of South Carolina on the pediatric palliative care team. And I would sit in rounds and listen to stories of families who were told their child had a terminal illness, was going to die, or parents who were told during pregnancy that their infant would not survive maybe an hour, maybe 24 hours because of the medical conditions they had. And I kept wondering what happens to these families afterwards. I didn't even know about an end-of-life doula. As I say, I believe it was divinely inspired because all of a sudden, one day I heard end-of-life doula. I'm like, what? And I Googled this, and there was one in Charleston. But I was led to the Conscious Dying Institute by Google. anyway, and that really began my journey. And then I realized this was meant to be. These seeds were planted a long time ago because of my life experience.
It sounds like a natural progression. Let's see.
Do you want me to talk a little bit about what end-of-life doulas do?
I would love that, yeah, because I mean, I feel like this is a kind of a heavy topic, and it's like I'm trying to pull out some sort of nugget here so that, you know, we can focus on what you're saying. Let's do that, because I think that's going to push us more in a direction of feeling like, you know, because I think with death we feel so powerless, right? We can't prevent it. We don't oftentimes, you know, don't know when it's going to happen. And, you know, just like putting our affairs in order of, you know, writing a will and kind of organizing that information, it's nice to feel like we have some sort of power in this life, right?
We do have. I mean, we can't obviously control when we're going to die here on this earth.
Right.
But, again, if you prepare for it, there is such a thing as a good death.
Okay.
There really is.
Yeah.
And I heard today a hospice nurse, or end-of-life doula, actually on Instagram, talking about the analogies that she gives people. Would you rather be sucked into the ocean and tossed around and have no power, no control, and just feel like you're totally drowning? Or would you rather make some plans and be, I'm forgetting the exact analogy, it was a circus show and kind of surf into the ocean and not feeling like you're just being taken under and you're fighting it the whole time.
Right.
So it's, the beauty, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's peaceful. So it's so that transition to wherever we go. It's peaceful. Yeah, and there's not that resistance or that agony that not only the patient, but the people around them could feel.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and depending on the disease and the disease process, you know, death itself is not painful. The disease process is, but that can be managed, you know, with hospice coming in, managing the pain and the symptoms. But if you start creating your best plan, whatever that is, you know, where do you want to die? How do you want to be cared for? I often ask, who do you want with you when you're dying, and who do you not want with you? That's important to pay attention to. And it's okay. It's your right to determine who will be in the room with you.
Right.
How do you want to be cared for during and after birth? I mean, after death. And then helping families and the individual sort out what really matters. So how can they spend their time together? I also educate about the death and dying process. It is a process, and the more you know about it, the less you will fear it. As Barbara Carnes, who is an amazing hospice nurse at the very beginning, has written many great books, she says, dying doesn't happen like it's in the movies. That's not how people die. And so sometimes it can be, if people aren't aware of what's going on, it can be, you know, scary for them. And then they may decide to call 911, even though that's not what the person wanted. So,
good point.
Some end of life dualists sit vigil at the end of life. They'll sit at the bedside. I do not do that, but I educate and empower families to be able to do that.
Okay. Let's stop
home
there.
Funerals. Okay.
Yeah, let's stop there for a moment if we could, Bonnie. We're going to take a quick break, and let's come back and continue. So curious about what else is on that list of creating the best plan. So
okay.
This is Practical Mindset Radio. We're here with Bonnie Compton talking about her role as an end-of-life doula, and we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, you can eat healthier and maybe even lose weight by rearranging your kitchen. It's true. The health of your home is important to keeping you healthy. Stacy Crew's book, Mind Body Kitchen, shows you how. Imagine having a step-by-step guide to help you identify obstacles, organize your kitchen, and gain, not pounds, but a healthy and happy lifestyle. It works. Visit StacyCrew.com to get your copy of Mind Body Kitchen, or get it at Amazon.com. Just do it now.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Psst. Stacy Crew has a fantastic digital course that transforms you and your kitchen. So just think of this, a clutter-free kitchen that also helps you unlock your ability to make quick life decisions. Oh, or how about tips like how to buy organic but still save money? It's time to streamline your kitchen with healthy options, meal plans, recipes, and so many great methods, all to get you out of the kitchen and enjoying a better, healthy life. For more info, visit StacyCrew.com now.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
We know you're sweet, but wouldn't it be great to cut down on your sugar? Well, now there's an easy step-by-step guide by Stacy Crew, your nutritional coach, to do just that. There's shopping lists, meal plans, lots of tips on organizing your kitchen, and in just 3 days, you can reduce your cravings while reducing inflammation in your body, making you feel better and have more energy. There's even a support community to help. But you know what's best of all? It's free. Just visit StacyCrew.com. That's StacyCrew.com.
Uplifting talk. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Practical Mindset. This is Stacy Crew, your host. And today I have with us Bonnie Compton, and she's the author of the book Mothering with Courage. The subtitle is The Mindful Approach to Becoming a Mom Who Listens More, Worries Less, and Loves Deeply, a beautiful book. And she's also an end-of-life doula, and that's what we've been talking about in the first segment. And we're going to continue talking about creating your plan for dying. And Bonnie has started, sharing with us some of the questions that she asks people when they're doing this planning. So, Bonnie, let's continue with that. What other types of questions are you asking people about their plan?
Sure. Well, I get pretty detailed. Besides, do you want to die in at home, in a hospice facility, in a hospital? No, so I help people get clearer around that. And then how do you want the room to look? Is there a particular room, say, if they want to die at home, that you'd like to be in? Would you like music played? Do you want windows open? You know, just very specific. Do you want a particular blanket?
Sure.
Would you like a particular person to be with you mostly? Or, you know, some people want to be left alone as they're dying. Actually, I can't prove this, but the idea is, the premise is that people sometimes will wait, and you hear stories about this. They will wait until all their loved ones are there before they die. Or they will wait until after a birthday. Or sometimes they will wait until their loved ones leave and then they die.
Right.
And the idea behind that is that they don't want them to see them like that and upset them at the end. When I ask, do you like music? What type of music? I actually, through my doula training, and I also took music for the dying training, I have created my own end-of-life playlist.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage people to do that because I love music. It's transformative for me.
Mm-hmm.
So getting as specific as you want, and notice knowing that you can change your mind about that.
Yeah.
And not assuming that everybody wants a quiet room. Sometimes we think, oh, you've got to be very quiet. Well, if it was a family that was pretty loud and joked around a lot, that dying person is going to want to hear your voices, not a hushed silence. Like my husband said to me when I was creating my end-of-life playlist, he said, please, for mine, don't play Enya. Nothing against Enya, but I want hard rock. So, you know, it's just being specific to who you are is very important to think about. You know, as you're dying, do you want to be touched? Do you not like touch? You know, what helps you feel calm and comfortable?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is, as you're describing this, and now my oldest is 25, so it's been, 26 years since I created a birth plan, which, you know, in a lot of ways, I look back on that now because I did not use a doula. And I kind of, you know, wish I had thought about that more. I went the traditional route. You know, we went to the hospital. And that whole plan that I had for, like, music in the room and whatever, it all went out the window, quite honestly.
Of course. I did the same thing, Stacey.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, the planning of that made me feel good. It's kind of like when you plan a trip, you know, where are we going to visit? What are we going to see? And with the birth, you know, there's a lot of unknowns with the first one, especially with death. You know, same thing. I mean, I have not participated in anything like this. And what a beautiful, I mean, it could really be, I'm sure it is a beautiful way to just honor yourself, your family, the people around you, and have it be almost like a celebration of life. I mean, I know that's a separate thing. A lot of people do that, call it a celebration of life as opposed to a wake. But just what a beautiful way to say, yeah, this is how I'd like to peacefully transition. I, too, think that music is very transformative. And, you know, again, what a beautiful way to sort of exit this life with music that, you know, as you said in your husband's case, hard rock, which I think that's amazing. But, yeah, I
Stacey,
love
Stacey, can I just say, I'm having a hard time hearing you. It's getting very staticky.
Oh, okay. Is that better, Bonnie?
No. I haven't moved where I am, so I'm not sure. I just want to make sure I understand you.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead, and I want to ask you, what is the most rewarding part of being an end-of-life doula?
Oh, there is such a sacredness about death, just as there is birth, and to be there and support families and witness this at the end of life is a true honor. People ask me, aren't you depressed? I'm like, no, because I see the beauty in life.
Yeah.
And death is part of life, and it's as sacred as birth is, right? It's the life cycle. And
yes.
It brings me joy, actually. Can it be hard and heavy, especially working? My passion really is pediatrics, although I do help older people also. But, you know, in terms of pediatrics and with children, one of the best gifts a parent is able to give their child is a good death at the end of life.
Yeah, and that's
And parents have, well, parents have told me that that helps them in their grieving process.
Yeah, because as we were talking, I know for me, when I think of death, I'm thinking of someone old. You know, older.
The children die also, unfortunately. They do.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit then about, you know, the way you've supported, and I mean that, you know, with your experience in, as a pediatric nurse, what has that been like to support families? Tell us a little bit more about that, what it's been like to support families when a child is passing.
Well, I can tell you, I could not have done this work when my four children were young. And I am a grandmother now. But I'm in a different space in life. And I'm honored, again, to be able to do this and just sit with them and hold space for them to feel all the feelings, which include anger and sadness and, I mean, regret, all sorts of different things that parents feel. But at the end, when they know they have done the best for their child, they did everything possible, the medical team did everything possible, and now it's time to let their child transition. And and how can they help them do this? And so even if the child dies or the infant dies in the hospital, what can they create in the hospital? How can they do that? Or are they able to take them home if they want to? Not everybody wants to do that. And how can they be supported at home?
Right.
So, of course, it is very, very sad. And it's traumatic for families. I also do, as an end-of-life doula, I do a lot of grief support and traumatic grief support for individuals and families. Traumatic death is something sudden, but anyone who loses a child has been traumatized by that.
Absolutely. I can't even imagine. All right, let's take a quick another break, because as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, people and parents who haven't had an opportunity, you know, they lose a child but haven't gone through the process with someone like you, with your support. I want to talk a little bit more about that and how you might be able to help them even now. So let's take a break. This is Practical Mindset Radio, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Psst. Stacy Crew has a fantastic digital course that transforms you and your kitchen. So just think of this, a clutter-free kitchen that also helps you unlock your ability to make quick life decisions. Oh, or how about tips like how to buy organic but still save money? It's time to streamline your kitchen with healthy options, meal plans, recipes, and so many great methods, all to get you out of the kitchen and enjoying a better, healthy life. For more info, visit StacyCrew.com now.
Well, you know you're sweet, but wouldn't it be great to cut down on your sugar? Well, now there's an easy step-by-step guide by Stacy Crew, your nutritional coach, to do just that. There's shopping lists, meal plans, lots of tips on organizing your kitchen, and in just 3 days, you can reduce your cravings while reducing inflammation in your body, making you feel better and have more energy. There's even a support community to help. But you know what's best of all? It's free. Just visit StacyCrew.com. That's StacyCrew.com.
See straight and save. These days, everyone seems to see things differently. But from your eyes, you can see straight and save. Right now, get glasses online at 70% off at Glasses USA. There's a 100% guarantee, too, on top brand men, women, multifocal, and even prescription sunglasses. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Glasses USA, and you will see straight and save.
Hey, you can eat healthier and maybe even lose weight by rearranging your kitchen. It's true. The health of your home is important to keeping you healthy. Stacy Crew's book, Mind Body Kitchen, shows you how. Imagine having a step-by-step guide to help you identify obstacles, organize your kitchen, and gain, not pounds, but a healthy and happy lifestyle. It works. Visit StacyCrew.com to get your copy of Mind Body Kitchen or get it at Amazon.com. Just do it now.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Everyone, Stacy Crew, thanks for joining us today on Practical Mindset Radio. And our guest today is Bonnie Compton, and she is an end-of-life doula. So she supports individuals who are approaching the end of life, and she helps them create a plan so that they can transition peacefully. And she also works with parents who have lost a child or losing a child, and which is just full of grief, and I just honestly can't imagine. This is a really hard topic to talk about, but I think what we are, at least what I'm learning throughout this episode and the conversation with Bonnie, is that we need to normalize death, you know, and approaching death as opposed to ignoring it, because there's just such a beautiful way to honor someone's life. And so, Bonnie, my next question for you is around someone who's lost, you know, whether it's a parent or a child or a loved one, and they haven't used an end-of-life doula. Are there ways that you can help support someone today with their grief and a way that they can honor that loved one?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Stacy, for asking that. You know, as much as we are a death-fearing society, we are a grief-fearing society. And unfortunately, we don't know how to support people who are grieving. And so many times, people, they try to support someone, but may say something like, well, I'm sorry you lost your baby, but at least there's an angel in heaven now. Mm-hmm. Or, so sorry your child died, but at least you have three more. You know, and it's not intentional to be mean-spirited. They just don't know what else to say.
Right.
There's a book out by Colin Campbell right now, which I absolutely love, and he lost his two teenagers. They both died in a car accident.
Oh,
and he said, going through his grief, he was trying to read as many books as possible and, you know, do all the things and the therapy, and he said, but what he kept finding, people would say to him, there just are no words. I am so sorry. And when someone says to someone who is grieving, there are no words, that stops the conversation, right?
Yeah.
Because what else are we going to say? There are no words. But we need to talk about this. And so as a grief educator and a grief support person in my practice, I am helping people grieve. I'm also educating people about how to support others who are grieving. And, you know, because grief is there. It's like this elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. And what ends up happening, parents who have lost children often feel very isolated. They begin losing friends. Sometimes even their families don't know how to support them. You know, they want them to get over their grief, move on, feel better, get back to normal. And what they're saying unconsciously is, please get back to yourself so I'll feel more comfortable because I don't know how to support you.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's so important to support people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what are some ways, what are some phrases that could, because it is really hard, I think, to hold space for someone who's in pain when you don't know what to say. So I'm imagining, you know, there are probably some things that people can say and just listen, like allow the person to open up. What are some phrases that people could use to allow that or start that process?
You know, first starting by saying, I am so sorry. I mean, you can say, there are no words that I can say that are going to make this easy, but I want you to know that I'm here for you, and I will be here for you. Some ways to help people who are grieving is to talk about their loved one, to say their name. You know, people fear, especially when parents have lost a child, I don't want to bring anything up that might make them sad by saying their child's name or talking about their child. I don't want them to, you know, have to keep remembering this. Well, they're not forgetting their pain. They are very sad. You're not going to make them any more sad. But honoring their child, letting them talk about their child, looking at pictures with them and videos, even if it's someone you don't know and you find out that their teen died, you know, 5 years ago. And also, say if the teen died by suicide, that's a whole, could be a whole other topic we could talk about. But how people fear even bringing anything up. Just tell me about your child.
Yeah.
Tell me about them. What were they like? What did, you know, what did you absolutely love about them? You know, tell me their name, that sort of thing. Just to begin the conversation. You know, sending someone a text once a week or whatever. Just say, I'm thinking of you. There was a mom, I did a grief support group at the medical university, and one mom said for a year she had lost her 9-year-old daughter a year before this group started, and she said every day her friend would send her a text saying, what are you doing to nurture your heart today? Which I just thought was beautiful. So staying connected.
Yes. Connection is, I mean, that's the key to so many things in life, I believe, very strongly. How, it's just so important, and to let people know that you're there for them. I mean, even outside of, you know, losing someone, I think that's very important.
And it helps people move forward with their grief. They, you know, people often think, well, grief goes away, grief shrinks. No, it doesn't, but your life expands around it. And so the sadness is there, but it's not all-consuming. They're, you know.
Yeah. So we started the conversation about, like, end-of-life planning for an individual. So that would be, you know, obviously someone who's still here, and whether they're healthy or not, they're planning their own transition. For the people who lose someone, we've started kind of moving into that conversation a little bit about grief. And if someone loses a loved one, what type of grief support is out there? And should they call a local hospital, call you? How can people find out about grief support? Because I think being with other people who, you know, have a similar experience would be highly beneficial, especially
yes.
if people are surrounded by those who find it hard to ask the question or say, tell me about your loved one. I'm so sorry. I want to know more. We do need to go to a break. So let's continue the next segment with the talk around grief support. And I do want to leave a little time so you can tell people where to find you and, you know, and watch your TED Talk and all of that as well. So let's take a break. This is Practical Mindset Radio, and stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We know you're sweet, but wouldn't it be great to cut down on your sugar? Well, now there's an easy step-by-step guide by Stacy Crew, your nutritional coach, to do just that. There's shopping lists, meal plans, lots of tips on organizing your kitchen, and in just 3 days, you can reduce your cravings while reducing inflammation in your body, making you feel better and have more energy. There's even a support community to help. But you know what's best of all? It's free. Just visit StacyCrew.com. That's StacyCrew.com. Hey, you can eat healthier and maybe even lose weight by rearranging your kitchen. It's true. The health of your home is important to keeping you healthy. Stacy Crew's book, Mind Body Kitchen, shows you how. Imagine having a step-by-step guide to help you identify obstacles, organize your kitchen, and gain, not pounds, but a healthy and happy lifestyle. It works. Visit StacyCrew.com to get your copy of Mind Body Kitchen or get it at Amazon.com. Just do it now. Psst. Stacy Crew has a fantastic digital course that transforms you and your kitchen. So just think of this, a clutter-free kitchen that also helps you unlock your ability to make quick life decisions. Oh, or how about tips like how to buy organic but still save money? It's time to streamline your kitchen with healthy options, meal plans, recipes, and so many great methods all to get you out of the kitchen and enjoying a better, healthy life. For more info, visit StacyCrew.com now.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Eclectic talk with a positive twist. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Stacy Crew, your host on Practical Mindset Radio. Today we have with us Bonnie Compton, and she's the author of Mothering with Courage, and she's also an end-of-life doula. And we left off talking about grief. You know, the end-of-life doula process involves the person who will be transitioning, but then the conversation sort of came around to the people who are left behind, you know, the loved ones and the grieving. So Bonnie was going to give us some guidance here on resources and direction for people who are grieving the loss of a loved one. So go ahead, Bonnie. Tell us how and what people can do.
Okay. I am going to encourage everyone listening out there who has lost a loved one to be able to talk about it. It's so important. David Kessler, I trained with him, and he trained with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, and he said grief needs to be witnessed to heal, and I so believe that. So as I said, I offer grief support. This is a calling for me, and I actually just got back from Arizona training with Dr. Joanne Cacciatore. It was the second part of the training I was doing with her. For traumatic grief, for parents who have lost children, loved ones. for their families. Actually, for parents, if they're interested in learning more, you can go on the MISS Foundation, M-I-S-S Foundation. She also has an amazing healing farm. It's called Sella Care Farm out in Arizona, where families can go for a lot of intensive grief work. And I am one of her certified practitioners, so I offer traumatic grief work for families.
Okay.
There are many good grief therapists, and there are some that are not good and actually can do no more harm than good. And so you really want someone who specializes in grief.
How do you find the good one?
I would look at their certifications. You know, for myself, I can only speak of myself. You can go on my website and see all the training that I've done. Some people, you know, feel that they can specialize in grief because they lost a loved one and had a little bit of training in the grad school program. But you really want to be with someone who is very grief literate and knows how to help support you. So asking your practitioner, talking to your insurance company, but really doing your research. You know, the best thing is word of mouth, of course, someone who's experienced grief and has a, you know, great recommendation for you. And it gives the therapist at least three times to see if they're a good fit for you. Right now I'm working with several clients who have lost their spouse of many, many, many years. And, you know, we often talk about the death of a child is the worst death, and it is horrific. And yet I think of those who've been married 60 years, that was their person. And all of a sudden they're gone. So there's no competition in grief for sure.
Absolutely.
So anyway, but I encourage everyone to receive grief support.
Thank you for that. So all of this information will be in the show notes as well. So let's end today's visit with you telling us, Bonnie, where people can find you, and please mention your TEDx talk too, because I believe that's around your end of life doula work, correct?
Yes, it is. I spoke at TEDx Charleston about a month ago, and was speaking as an end of life doula, and why wait to be late for your life? So it's about living life fully and planning for the end. Was honored to do that. And my end-of-life doula website is gentleheartjourneys.com.
Can you spell that?
You can find me there. Yes. Gentle, like G-E-N-T-L-E. Yes. Heart, H-E-A-R-T. Journeys, J-O-U-R-N-E-Y-S.com. And I explain the reason for that name on my website. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook. And
Good. I'm so excited to watch your TED Talk, and we'll include that in the show notes as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, this has been really enlightening. I mean, it is a heavy topic. It can be a very heavy topic. But I'm in full agreement with, you had quoted David Kessler about grief needs to be witnessed to heal. That's incredible, because I'm a true believer that anytime we push things down and don't address them, they pop up in a lot of different ways, unhealthy
habits.
Oh, they
do. Things that we bury come right back up at some point, right?
Yeah. And what a beautiful way to, you know, honor someone's life and you know, their transition. So, like I said earlier, wherever we go, that's something to really cherish. One final question. Do you have any plans to write another book?
Oh, Stacey, I would love to. I've got things bubbling, you know, but it's a matter of time. I mean, you know, you wrote a book yourself. It's a labor of love.
Uh-huh. Yes, it is.
And so I will not be writing another parenting book. I feel complete. I love the book that I wrote, but there are a couple other things. Maybe someday, I don't know. Really what I want to focus on now, I want to keep getting this message out there, so I want to speak at events. I would love to be a keynote speaker. I would love to do retreats because this message is so important. So if anyone is listening, looking for speakers around conscious living and dying.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. I mean, I can't wait to talk with you outside of this conversation about your process. And so I'm Irish and English, and you know, I think the Irish have they really do a celebration of life. A lot of them, you know, when someone passes, to celebrate someone's life. And you know, I mean, some people might find it kind of unusual. Some people might use the word morbid. I don't know. But I'd be planning, you know, to celebrate my own life, or, you know, and including people.
Yes.
Just sounds like, you know, a way to flip something that we normally look at as sad into, you
right.
know, something beautiful. So
yeah, it does have to be such a heavy topic. And if we can begin
right.
normalizing this, like you said in the beginning, and
yeah.
just begin these important conversations.
Absolutely. Well, Bonnie, thank you so much for joining today. And thank you, everyone, for listening. This is Practical Mindset Radio. We're live today. And look forward to seeing you next time, or hearing you next time.
thank you, Stacey.
Healthy Life.
It's been an honor.
You're welcome, Bonnie. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
Hey, you can eat healthier and maybe even lose weight by rearranging your kitchen. It's true. The health of your home is important to keeping you healthy. Stacy Crew's book, Mind Body Kitchen, shows you how. Imagine having a step-by-step guide to help you identify obstacles, organize your kitchen, and gain, not pounds, but a healthy and happy lifestyle. It works. Visit StacyCrew.com to get your copy of Mind Body Kitchen, or get it at Amazon.com. Just do it. Now. Psst. Stacy Crew has a fantastic digital course that transforms you and your kitchen. So just think of this, a clutter-free kitchen that also helps you unlock your ability to make quick life decisions. Oh, or how about tips like how to buy organic but still save money? It's time to streamline your kitchen with healthy options, meal plans, recipes, and so many great methods, all to get you out of the kitchen and enjoying a better, healthy life. For more info, visit StacyCrew.com now. We know you're sweet, but wouldn't it be great to cut down on your sugar? Well, now there's an easy step-by-step guide by Stacy Crew, your nutritional coach, to do just that. There's shopping lists, meal plans, lots of tips on organizing your kitchen, and in just 3 days, you can reduce your cravings while reducing inflammation in your body, making you feel better and have more energy. There's even a support community to help. But you know what's best of all? It's free. Just visit StacyCrew.com. That's StacyCrew.com.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.